Copyright 2011, JKP, Radha Madhav Dham. All rights reserved. Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, he gives an in-depth description of the different kinds of bhakti, the stages a devotee progresses through on the path of bhakti, and the ultimate goal, the divine bhakti. These speeches are based on the descriptions by Rup Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as explained by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj.
Aho chit. Chitramaho chitram vande tat prema bandhanam yad baddham muktidam muktam Brahma Krida Bhrigi Kritam Brahma Krida Mrigi Kritam Kasturi Tilakam Lalat patale vakshasthale kaustubham nasagre varmauktikam karatale Venu kare kankanam sarvange harichandanam sulalitam Kanthe cha muktavali Gopastri pariveshtito vijayate Gopal Chudamani Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedanscha Prahinoti Tasmai Tagvangha Devamatma Buddhi Prakasham Mumukshurvai Sharanamaham Prapadye. Dear devotees, we'll do a few minutes of chanting, and after that I'll continue with this series on bhakti. Bhajo giri dhar govinda gopala Bhajo giri dhar Hare Govinda Gopala. Bhajo Giridhar 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 Govinda Gopala.
Bolo Ladli Lal Ki.
So far in this series, I explained to you that there are three things we need to know from all of our scriptures, just three things. Sambandha, Abhidheya, Prayojan. Sambandha means, to whom are we related? So I explained to you that we are only related eternally in one place, that's to God. So every soul is eternally related to Radha Krishna. Number two, Abhideya. Once you know who you're related to, then you want to meet them. So what is the means of reaching them? That is your Abhideya. So how can we reach Radha and Krishna? Only through the path of bhakti. And number three, prayojan. Having attained them, having met them face to face, what do we want from them? So the answer to that is their prem, which means their divine love. So out of those three, sambandh, abhideya, prayojan, two simply have to be understood. You understand what is your relationship to Radha and Krishna. You understand that your ultimate goal is to receive their divine love. But the one in the middle, the bhakti, that's the path. That's what we have to do. So we need to understand more about bhakti. Therefore, along these lines, I explained to you that there are actually three kinds of bhakti. One is the divine bhakti, which is our ultimate goal. That's a divine power which is graced to us. It's not something we can attain. But to become qualified to receive that divine love, we have to practice devotion. We have to do bhakti. So that's another kind. That's called sadhana bhakti. So in gist, sadhana bhakti means attaching your mind to Radha and Krishna, loving them. That is sadhana bhakti. Through practicing sadhana bhakti, your mind starts to get attached to them. So attaching your mind to them is sadhana bhakti. That means the nature of the mind is to go into the world. So you bring it from the world, you bring it back into remembrance of Radha and Krishna. That's devotion. If you keep practicing this sadhana bhakti, eventually you enter into the beginning stages of bhav bhakti, which means your mind is becoming attached to them. It's not 100% attached, but it's becoming attached. So sadhana bhakti leads to bhav bhakti, and then as your heart goes on purifying, bhav bhakti goes on improving, increasing, until your heart becomes 100% surrendered. When your heart is 100% clean through the practice of bhakti, then a saint gives you God's personal power called Swarup Shakti, and that divinizes your heart. Your heart, senses, mind, everything. Then into your divine mind, you receive that third kind of bhakti, Prema Bhakti, the divine love power. So three kinds of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, bhav bhakti, and prema bhakti. Again, out of these three, sadhana bhakti is the one that we need to know more about right now. Prema bhakti, that will come when our heart is purified. Bhav bhakti also happens automatically if you do sadhana bhakti. So what is sadhana bhakti and how do we do it? Although our scriptures have described many different ways of doing bhakti, saints historically have given more importance to nine kinds of bhakti. It's called Navadha bhakti. Nav means nine. Navadha, nine kinds of bhakti. I think the AC is a little high. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyamatmanivedanam. In gist, shravanam, listening, like you're all doing right now. Kirtanam, singing God's name, like we were doing before this. Smaranam, remembering God in your heart. That's number three. Number four, padasevanam, doing service to God's lotus feet. Like if you have a deity of God and you worship his feet. Archanam means puja. You offer different things to God. Vandanam, you sing God's praises like we do in our homage, like doing the arti homage. Dasyam, you feel yourself to be a servant of God and you keep that way of thinking in your mind. Sakyam, you feel yourself to be a friend of God. And Atmanivedanam, wholehearted surrender, feeling that even your own soul belongs to God. So out of these nine, three, you can just simplify from those nine, just simplify it down to three. This was a verse from Bhagavatam. There's a couple of other places in the Bhagavatam where it says, Tasmat Hari Sarvada Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvada Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyo Bhagavan Nirnam. Out of all the different kinds of bhakti, nine are most important, but even amongst those nine, three are prime. The first three, Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran. Shravan, you're all doing right now. There are mainly two kinds of Shravan. Shravan means listening. So, devotional listening, you're doing right now. You're hearing about the philosophy related to God realization. The other kind of listening would be if someone is telling you a lila of Radha and Krishna. They're not explaining philosophy, they're telling you of a lila that happened. So these are the two main kinds of shravan. We do both kinds. It's important to understand the philosophy so that you know what direction you're going, what are the obstacles, how to avoid those obstacles, how to have a smooth progress on the path. That's important to understand the philosophy. But devotees also reach a stage where they want to hear God's leelas. Shrinvatam svakatham Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyanta stho yabhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam Bhagavatam. A devotee reaches the stage where he wants to hear more about the philosophy. He wants to hear God's leelas and he wants to do kirtan. He wants to sing God's name. And by doing that, his heart gets purified. But there are different people from whom you could hear the philosophy or you could hear leela. Hearing a leela, you could hear that leela, well, understand it this way. If you're listening, it means someone's talking. The person talking is called vakta, and the person listening is called shrota. So there's, you can say, all of the vaktas could be divided into three categories. A God-realized saint, that's the best kind of vakta. Someone who's not God-realized, but he's surrendered humbly to a God-realized saint, and he's speaking with, you know, what he's learned from that saint. And then below that would be someone who's not God-realized, nor do they have the guidance of a God-realized saint. So we have all three kinds of talkers in the world, people who give speeches about philosophy, people who tell leelas. Now, when it comes to leelas, you could listen to leelas from any of the three. There's no problem. You won't be damaged in any way. You hear leelas from an ordinary worldly person who's not even surrendered to a saint. As long as he just sticks to exactly how it's described in a scripture, then fine, you can hear that. But there's more value to hearing that leela from someone who's surrendered to a saint who has real devotion in his heart. But if you ever get to hear a leela described by a God-realized saint, then that's a whole other category. That is the greatest form of charity on this earth, is when a saint shares a leela. He tells a leela to some souls. There's no greater charity. Giving someone food fills their belly temporarily. telling them a lila is giving them divine bliss. Now, everyone's catching power is different, but the saint is giving it. So, although there's much more value in hearing that lila from a saint, but even if a worldly person is telling it, it's okay, you can hear the lila, but if such a worldly person who's not even surrendered to a saint tries to explain philosophy, that's where the trouble begins. The philosophy has to be exactly understood and exactly explained. Just think of, imagine a big steel mill. Steel mills are huge. They take up like a whole city block. And what if one wire is disconnected? One screw is loose and the whole machine stops working. Whole big, huge machine that big and one wire can stop the whole thing? Yes. So it's like that with philosophy. If there's one thing out of place, the whole thing crumbles. So the philosophy has to be exactly and correctly explained and exactly and correctly understood. That's why it's imperative to learn the philosophy from a God-realized saint or from someone who's got the guidance of a God-realized saint, but definitely not from an ordinary person, even if that person is a great scholar, a great student of Sanskrit who studies all the scriptures on his own. If he doesn't have the guidance of a God-realized saint, he's confusing himself and he'll confuse you even worse. So we have these three types of bhakta. Of course, the best is to hear it straight from a God-realized saint. This is why we listen to Sri Maharaj's speeches every day. And in this intensive, we're also getting the chance to hear him describe leelas of Radha and Krishna. Now, shrotas, that's us, we're the listeners. We're of two kinds, according to the Bhagavat Mahatmya, which is part of Skanda Puran. There are six chapters of Skanda Puran telling about the greatness of the Bhagavatam. So in the sixth and final chapter, there's a description of two kinds of listeners, pravar shrota and avar shrota. Pravar means excellent, and avar means no good. So pravar shrota are of four kinds. There are four kinds of good listeners. They are, first of all, chatak. Chatak is a bird which is not on the earth planet anymore, but it's often referenced by poets when they talk about concentration. The chatak, not just concentration, but single-minded dedication, ananyata. The chatak only would drink the water, rainwater, which fell during a two-week period of the year when the Swati constellation was in ascendance. So it was perfectly dedicated only to that. It wouldn't touch any other water. You bring that bird Gangajal, you wouldn't even drink that. So total single-minded dedication, exclusiveness. That's the chatak. So there are some people who listen like a chatak. In other words, they never listen to any worldly thing. They only listen to devotional things. They listen to Radha Krishna Leelas. They listen to the philosophy. If they're talking, they're talking about Radha and Krishna. So in other words, that's what you could all be doing here during the intensive. There's no need to discuss any worldly thing. We can have our mind in Radha and Krishna 100% of the time, all the time. So we could be chatak shrota. We just hear about Radha and Krishna and nothing else. But when you're out in the world, you have to be the second kind of shrota, hans shrota. The hans is also a bird which has the unique skill of being able to separate milk out of water. If you take some milk and you pour water into it, now they're mixed. The milk has been diluted and there's no way to get the water out. Oh, but the hans can do it. The Hans can drink the milk out of that and leave the water behind. So the Hans Shrota is the one who, living in the world, he doesn't let the world get inside. So he keeps his worldly talks to a minimum. Whatever is required for work and family, he keeps it to a minimum, but he avoids the extra talking, the gossiping. What did this person say? Who's doing that? All the unnecessary news that we like to hear. The Hans Shrota avoids all of that and only listens to what's absolutely necessary. And the rest of the time, he only wants to hear devotional things. The next kind is called Shuk Shrota. The Shuk is also a bird, a parrot. So Sri Maharaj says that his pracharaks, who are good pracharaks, they are like this Shuk. They listen to what Maharaj says, and without adding or subtracting anything, they exactly repeat only that. Maharaj says, if you start making up your own thing, adding this, subtracting that, then you're going to mess the whole thing up. So Shuk Shrota just listens carefully and then repeats only that and exactly that. And then Meen Shrota, meen is a fish. So Bhagavat Mahatmya says, just like a fish in Kshir Sagar, the sweet ocean of milk where Vishnu stays. A fish swimming in that Kshir Sagar, unblinking and unspeaking, just drinking the nectar-like milk of that ocean. So listening like that, with rapt attention, not saying anything, not even looking away, full concentration, that is the Meen Shrota. So this is Pravar Shrota. Now Avar Shrota means the not so good way of listening, and there are four of these as well. The first one is Vrik Shrota. Vrik is a wolf. So let's say there are some deer out in the forest and someone is playing sweet melodies on a flute, and the deer are attracted by that and they're enchanted and they're listening. They're drinking in the nectar-like sound of that flute, and along comes a wolf and growls and scares all the deer away. So there are people who sit in a satsang and they start talking, or their phone rings. In other words, they cause a big disturbance, getting up and down. Anyway, a listener who's causing disturbance is not only ruining their listening, but disturbing others as well. And this is the Vrik Shrota. Then we have the Vrish Shrota and the Usht Shrota. The Vrish Shrota, it means a bell, a bull, will eat anything. It doesn't matter what you put in front of him. You put some nice sweet grapes, he'll eat that. It's all the same. You put some bitter leaves and make him eat that. Sure, he eats that. You ask him which one was better. It's all the same to him. That bell will eat anything. So the Vrish Shrota is like that bull who will just eat anything. So he listens to a Leela description of Radha Krishna. Oh yeah, that was good. He hears some worldly gossip. Oh, that was good. He hears someone talking who has no experience, has not become God-realized, but they're explaining something in flowery language. Oh yeah, that sounds nice. Then they hear a God-realized saint explaining some devotional philosophy. Oh yeah, that's good too. It's all the same. So the person who is this type of listener never really gets anywhere because he's unfocused and he just thinks it's all the same. Whereas the reality is, some of it has value, some of it has negative value, some of it has positive value. The Usht Shrota is like a camel, which will actually avoid the sweet thing in favor of the bitter thing. In other words, oh, there's a saint giving a talk about Radha and Krishna. Let's go and listen. No, I don't want to hear anything about God. I want to do anything worldly. So some people are like this. They prefer to be in the world, and they have, not only do they not have any attraction to hear things about God, but they prefer to avoid it. And the fourth kind is Bhurund, which is a bird. This Bhurund bird lives in the Himalaya, in the mountains. And it has the special skill of being able to listen and remember everything and tell others about it, but never practically follow any of it himself. This is the fourth kind of avar shrota. So we probably have a little bit of each of these in our personality and a little bit of each of the good ones as well. We can recognize those qualities in ourselves and try to culture the good ones and reduce the bad ones. So now you understand that when we say shravan bhakti means, how are you doing bhakti? You're doing bhakti by listening. So you can listen to either philosophy or you can listen to a lila, but however you're listening, your mind has to be engaged. Listening is not the work of the ears, because your ears are always open. But if you fall asleep, and I'm talking, I can talk for hours, all the words went in your ears, but nothing registered because your mind was gone. Or if I'm talking and you're thinking about something else, again, the words are going in, but nothing is registering. So listening is not the work of the ears. Listening is the work of the mind. So mind plus ears do shravan, whether it's philosophy or whether it's a lila. So this is the first kind of bhakti, shravana bhakti. There are two others. The second is kirtan bhakti, which means chanting God's name. You can listen to the chanting. You can do the chanting. You can do the chanting along with everybody else. You can do it alone in a quiet place. You can do it with instruments, without instruments. You can do it sitting. You can do it dancing. There are different traditional ways of doing it. Vyasa paddhati means just listening. Narada paddhati means chanting with other people along with instruments, dholak, harmonium. And then Hanumat paddhati means all of that plus you're dancing along with chanting. So whatever appeals to you, you can adopt that kind of chanting. What is the greatness of chanting God's name? Well, it's been extolled in all of the scriptures and by all of the saints. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Hare Namaiva 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 Mamajivanam Kalau Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyatha. Kirtan, chanting Krishna's name, is the only means to reach him in Kaliyuga. There is no other way. Kaler doshanidhe rajan nastihyeko mahan gunah kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangah param vrajet krite adhyayato vishnum Tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tadhari kirtanat. Bhagavatam. We are in Kaliyug, the age of materialism. Everybody's mind is more drawn towards the world. We're more distracted. Our bodies are less healthy and less agile, less flexible. Our mind is less potent than it is in other yugas. So in Kaliyug, there's only one way to reach Krishna, that is by chanting his name. But the Bhagavatam says that's a great good quality of Kaliyug. It's the only good quality of Kaliyug. that in Kaliyug, all you have to do is chant his name, and through that, you can reach him. In other yugas, much more demanding and rigorous practices are required. Going to the jungle, renouncing everything, doing great austerities, along with surrendering to God. But in Kaliyug, none of that is required. Just lovingly remember God and chant his name.
Naam naam kari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tatrar pita niyamitah smarnena kalah etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivami drishamiha janinanurag.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji says that Krishna's name is not less than him. It is equal to him. He has put all of his power into his name. In other words, his name and him are not two separate things. They're one and the same. His name is just another form of him. It's not so in the world. In the world, nobody's name has a substantial connection with them. If your husband is away in another country for several months and you're missing him, and you just close your eyes and call his name, you don't get the experience of his presence. But God's name has God in it. So if you call God's name with faith, he is there. Tulsidas ji says, Jasu naam sumirat ikbara utarahi nar bhav sindhu apara. You only have to take God's name once and he comes to you. But the condition is, take his name with full faith. It's not just a word, he is in his name. So if you take his name one time with such faith, he is there with you. A saint does not receive less bliss by repeating Krishna's name than that saint would receive in seeing Krishna. Let's say Krishna is somewhere else, and the saint is just chanting Krishna's name. He's experiencing the same amount of bliss as if Krishna were right here talking to him, hugging him, playing with him. No more, no less. So the name is that great. In fact, kahau naam bad ram te. Tulsidas ji says, in my opinion, God's name is greater than God himself. Because for an ordinary soul, we can't see God yet, but we have his name, and we can use his name to reach him. And even from the point of view of a saint says, oh Krishna, I don't need you, I have your name. You're too nutcut. You come and you go, you give me your meeting, then you give me separation. You can go, that's fine, but your name can never leave me. So I'm fine with your name. You come to me or don't come to me, I have your name. So the name is that great. Repeat it one time and Krishna has to come. And by chanting the name, well, that's the only way to reach Krishna in Kaliyug. But keep in mind that similar to Shravan, chanting is not done. Kirtan does not mean that's exercise for your voice. Kirtan could be done silently. In your heart, you're repeating Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. That's kirtan. You didn't say anything. So kirtan means the mind has to be involved. So your voice plus your mind means kirtan. Because let's say you're chanting Radhe Govinda. Well, there are people in this world whose name is Radha. Parents name their daughters Radha sometimes. They name their sons Govinda, Krishna, Gopal. So what if your daughter's name is Radha? And you're chanting Radhe, 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 and you're thinking about your daughter. So are you doing bhakti to Radha Krishna? No, you're doing bhakti of whoever you're thinking of. So true kirtan is with the association of the mind. People try to find loopholes. Seeing the greatness of God's name, how it's described in the scriptures, sometimes people quote a verse from Gita. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra sanshaya. People explain this verse in this way. They say, Krishna has said, if you repeat my name at the end as you're dying, you will come to me. It's my personal guarantee. So taking this, people who have not done devotion perhaps for their whole life, but at the end when they know they're dying, they start repeating Krishna's name and they think, I'm going to go to Krishna's divine abode. It says so in the Gita. But actually, they didn't correctly read it. If you look at the detail, it says, antakale means at the end, smaran. Krishna says you have to remember me, not just say my name. And muktva kalevaram, as you're leaving your body. So it means when someone's dying, what happens? First they go unconscious. Then their breathing stops, heart stops. Sometime later, their soul leaves their body. So if someone's just saying Krishna's name, when they go unconscious, they're going to stop saying his name. So then in that unconscious state, their subtle mind, their subconscious mind, what is that in that state? What are they going to be thinking of? Whatever they're attached to. Yam yam vapismaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam tam tamevaiti sadbhavam sada tadbhava bhavita. Krishna says in the very next verse, he clarifies that whatever you've remembered the most during your life, you became attached to that thing. So at the moment of death, when your soul is leaving your body, that's what you're going to remember, whatever you're attached to. So it means it's not a loophole. We have to attach our mind to Krishna now by doing bhakti, purify our heart, become God-realized. Then when our soul leaves our body, we'll automatically be remembering him. So he wasn't giving us that verse as a loophole. He was just explaining the process, how it works. If you get your mind 100% attached to him, then you will go to him when you leave your physical body. So because of this, saints have said that when you're taking God's name, it has to be with feeling. It's not just a mechanical repetition. Although if you're just mechanically repeating God's name, so something is better than nothing. If you're saying Radhe, 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 at least you'll get something out of that, even if your mind is somewhere else. But it's not real bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, these are the feelings you should have along with it. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tav pad pankajasthita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. He says, feel humbly related to Krishna. How should we feel humble? He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, praying to Krishna, he says, O Krishna, please think of me as a speck of dust which has fallen beneath your lotus feet. Why am I like a speck of dust? Because I'm a fallen soul. I'm perfectly fallen in this world. For uncountable lifetimes, I've been stuck in the mire of this mayic existence. My mind is so attached in this world. It's so impure. So, in other words, he's saying, I see no good qualities in myself, but I am related to you. Ai Nanda Tanuj, O son of Nanda Baba, O my beloved Krishna, I belong to you and you are mine. So I am perfectly fallen, but I also have perfect confidence that you will pick me up. So thinking of me as a speck of dust which has fallen beneath your lotus feet, please pick me up and keep me with you. So with such feelings of humbleness, we should chant God's name. Mahaprabhuji says, what is the ultimate limit of humbleness? Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. He says, before doing kirtan, do one thing. Feel humble from the inside. How humble should we try to feel? Trinadapi sunichena. More humble than a blade of grass, which bends under other people's feet. How humble is that? More forbearing and forgiving than a tree, whose fruit is plundered, branches are broken. The tree never grumbles. The tree freely gives to all who come. Amanina manadena. Without demanding respect from anyone, from inside, truly respecting every other person. This is the ultimate limit of humbleness. We may not be there yet, but that's what we're working towards. And whatever amount of humbleness we have, we should call upon that. When we sit to do kirtan, bring up that feeling of humbleness. Then, kirtaniya sada harihi, always chant Hari's name. If we do that, if we develop this feeling of humbleness plus confidence, not a dejected feeling that I'm such a fallen soul, a humble feeling admitting that I'm fallen, I have all kinds of faults, but I am yours. That confidence has to be there along with the humbleness. So I am fallen, I admit it. But since I belong to you, you have to come to me, and I have confidence you will. If we develop these feelings, longing will come. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. In this verse, Mahaprabhuji describes the ultimate limit of longing. Longing means yearning to meet your beloved, Krishna. So how much yearning, how much longing? So much that every moment in his separation should feel like hundreds of thousands of years, yugas, millions of years. The longing, that sweet pang of longing, should constantly be in the heart, and that will bring forth a constant stream of tears. And those tears will purify the last vestiges of mayic impurities left in our heart. And the whole world would seem blank without Krishna. Nothing can console me. Nothing is attractive to me. I only want you. That is the ultimate limit of longing. When we reach that stage, then there won't be any delay in Krishna's coming to us. So how do we develop that longing? By feeling humble, feeling related to Krishna, having that confidence that we belong to him and he will come to us, and chanting his name. Then longing will come. Nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgadrudhaya gira
pulakair nichitam vapu kada tavanam grahane bhavishyati.
Mahaprabhu ji says that if you do this, if you chant his name with these kind of feelings, eventually the signs of bhav bhakti will start to show. It means that when there's a feeling behind it, there's a power of God's name which is felt because that name is divine. So to whatever extent we can take that name with faith and with these feelings, to that same extent the power of the name is revealed in our heart. And then things happen like tears come when we chant his name. It's not just a name, it's our beloved's name. The body may feel a thrill, the heart may melt, the hairs may stand on end, the body may even tremble. These are all signs that the power of the name is actually manifesting in your heart. So this is true kirtan. So we looked at the first two types of bhakti. Although there are many kinds of bhakti, 9 are prime, and out of those 9, 3 are the most important. Out of those 3, we talked about shravan, and we also talked about kirtan. But Mahaprabhuji says, bahu janma yadi kare shravan kirtan, tabhu na paaye krishna pade prem dhan. Even if you do shravan, listening, and kirtan, chanting God's name, for uncountable millions of lifetimes, you still won't attain his divine love if you leave the third kind of bhakti out. The third kind of bhakti is smaran, loving remembrance of God. So knowing how to lovingly remember God, finding a way that you can keep your mind engaged in that loving remembrance, that is the most important thing on the path of bhakti, and that is the topic we're going to take up tomorrow. And that we'll spend the rest of the time we have today singing some kirtan. So in this kirtan, Sri Maharaj is saying, hey, let's go to Barsana. Let's go to Barsana village because Radha lives there. So let's go to Barsana and go and meet Radha.
Chalo Barsane mile Barsane vari. Chalo Barsane mile Barsane vari. बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी रोके बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी रोके बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी भानु दुलारी भानु दुलारी रोके बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी भाजी भाजी आई है करुणामयी प्यारी भाजी भाजी आई है करुणामयी प्यारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी बोलो जय हो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो ओ वृषभानु दुलारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी रोके कहूँ मैं हूँ शिशु तू ही माँ है प्यारी रोके कहूँ मैं हूँ शिशु तू ही माँ है प्यारी तू ही माँ है प्यारी तू ही माँ है प्यारी रोके कहूँ मैं हूँ शिशु तू ही माँ है प्यारी जगहूं कुपुत कुमाता नहीं प्यारी जगहूं कुपुत कुमाता नहीं प्यारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी गोरी गोरी भोरी mori mahatari. Gori gori bhori bhori mori mahatari. Mori mahatari. Mori mahatari. Gori gori bhori bhori mori mahatari. Nitya kishori braj ras bori pyari. Nitya kishori braj ras bori pyari. Chalo barsane mile barsane vari. Chalo barsane mile barsane vari. Bolo jai ho jai ho Vrishbhanu Dulari. Vayas ki thori piya chit chori pyari. Vayas ki thori piya chit chori pyari. Piya chit chori pyari. Piya chit chori pyari. Vayas ki thori piya chit chori pyari. Rati ras bori gati mati mori pyari. Gati ras bori gati mati mori pyari. Chalo barsane mile barsane vari. Barsane mile barsane vari. Bolo jai ho jai ho Vrishbhanu Dulari. Chori chori chit chor chit chori pyari. चोरी चोरी चित चोर चित चोरी प्यारी तू ही तो है मोरी लाखु मोरी ओरी प्यारी तू ही तो है मोरी लाखु मोरी ओरी प्यारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी एक बार कहूँ मैं ही तेरी महतारी एक बार कहूँ मैं ही तेरी महतारी सेवा दे दे महल की दऊंगी बुहारी सेवा दे दे महल की दऊंगी बुहारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी 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 वृषभानु दुलारी वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो वृषभानु दुलारी बोलो जय हो जय हो वृषभानुदुलारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी रो के बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी रो के बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी भानु दुलारी भानु दुलारी रो के बुलाओ आओ भानु दुलारी भाजी भाजी आई है करुणामयी प्यारी भाजी भाजी आई है करुणामयी प्यारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी चलो बरसाने मिले बरसाने वारी
बोलो बरसाने वारी की